don't know the power of sci-fi radio.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
We would be honored if you would join us.
You sound like a Tom and Jerry cartoon when Tom, like, drinks something.
Oh, there you go.
He makes this gurgle, 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 gurgle voice, which is very funny. Hey, everybody. It is another Thursday, which means Docu-May 94. We've been gone for a week because Costume College, that was a challenge to be sure. And but here we are. We are back. And hope you had a good week off. I am Sean Obishan Crosby.
Jeff Soledonoho.
I'm Colleen Kamen Crosby.
There we go. There's Jeff. And yeah, this is Docking Bay 94. You could be listening to us on sci-fi.radio. You could be watching us on Facebook or Twitch or on YouTube. We're just all nerdy folk. And here to talk about the week in geek. Kit Boba Kit Sovine produces the show with all our cool links and documents and fun stuff over on the Facebook page, Docu-May 94. She posts all the funny stuff that you guys comment and like on. And, yeah, glad to be back. It's been an eventful week. 2 weeks. Kind of crazy.
So I don't think we're on video.
No? No. All right, hang on a second. Allow me to restart.
We might be on the radio, though.
Let me restart the radio, the video here. Starting the output failed.
Oh, dear.
Why did that fail?
I don't know.
That's kind of wacky. Let me see if I can figure out what's going on over here. Mm-mm-mm. You guys talk while I figure this out.
Are we talking on the radio?
Okay? Oh, good golly.
There we go. I can hear you.
Cool.
Yes, we're on the radio. We are just not on the video.
Hey, everybody. Yeah. I can't get Twitch to respond at all. And when I click on Twitch, oddly, it opens Facebook. So, and I feel like that is not...
That's not really...
a thing over which Sean has control.
What usually happens now.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, now it seems to be working.
Let me take a look over at Restream and see what's happening. I don't think our... it says that we're off.
Last week's is playing still, but not finished.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know what's up. So I'm basically just sort of reauthorizing everything over here.
Cool.
Gotcha.
And trying to see if we can connect to the video, because it should be working. But that said, I had to reinstall Windows because my computer completely choked. I was not able to get on for... my morning show, which I was gone for a couple of days, which really sort of, and not, I wasn't gone because we couldn't do it. Are you sure you want to start the stream? Yes. Starting the output failed. Check the log for details. Good Lord.
How are you feeling, Jeff?
I still have a bit of like a occasional cough and my sore throat on like one side of my back of my tongue, whatever, you know, that's what I got going on, and like,
wacky.
And my back is hurting in one spot, which indicates a stone, but I don't think it is. I think I might have actually pulled something that is in the exact same area as my kidney, but I'm not sure either.
Yuck.
I'm just resting up today and tomorrow, you know, and seeing how it goes, see how tomorrow goes, and
that's not good. I lost my voice at costume college. Like, not entirely. Right. I've always been able to, like, I haven't lost it entirely, but my voice is weird.
She just got, she got the Kathleen Turner husky sexy voice out of costume college.
I don't feel like it's husky sexy. I feel like it's weird. I don't know what. Like prepubescent boy whose voice is breaking. Sort of a thing.
Maybe.
Time to change.
Right?
Oh my gosh.
And still tired from costume college because it was a lot. There was a lot of work and a touch of drama and some clothing changes, costume changes.
I gotcha.
Yeah. We missed you, Jeff.
Aw.
But we also missed Wolfcat during the dance. Mm. She twisted her ankle on the red carpet and wasn't able to join us for the dance. Yeah.
Aw, boo.
So, it is a bummer.
Hopefully she's feeling better.
Sean, do I need to take away the root beer float so you don't spill it by mistake?
No, I had to turn the fan off because it kept blowing on my microphone. I had to, like, move the fan because it was blowing on the microphone, which was annoying. And it's hot in here. It's very humid. I'm sticking to absolutely everything.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to solve this problem, and I have no information at all. It just says, check the log. And I'm trying to find the log, but... It's not making itself readily available.
Gotcha.
And so I'm like searching through directories, looking for the program, sort of thing. And then trying to decide which of these is the log.
Ooh.
I mean, usually it does say that it's the log, but I can't find... anything.
Confusing. Yeah.
Let's see. Let me search here for log. Log.
Yeah.
It's log. It's log.
Yes. That's over my head.
Right. And so, like, so the problem with Windows is it puts things all over the place. And so it could be in the program file. It could be under my name. The guy who set up my computer thought he was being enormously cute. And so he set up my computer as Obi-Wan, and I cannot change that, and it messes me up completely because I never go search for Obi-Wan, and it's a real mess. So he thought it was very funny, and I'm like, yeah, whatever, and then it turned out to be this like complete mess for me, like forever.
Yeah. Bit of a hassle.
Oh, let's see.
That's a bummer.
So, let's see. We don't want to... I guess we could talk about... Sean and I... Well, so Wednesday was super busy for me. I went to the dentist.
Oh, boy.
Not yesterday, but a week ago Wednesday. Clean bill of health, so yay for me.
Oh, good.
And then... I got home and my niece was graduating from NCIS school.
Wow.
Yeah, so my badass niece. She's pretty awesome. Super proud of her, and don't cross her. Because she's, not because she's like touchy, but because she's tough.
Yeah.
She finished in the like top of her class for her studies. Like she was up 95% or something like that.
Oh.
Dang.
That's pretty good.
I seem
You seem what?
Well, Microsoft cannot connect me. I don't know why it was trying to, but I'm not sure if that means the internet went down. But we're still talking to Jeff, so...
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
Weird. I don't know what that was about.
great, but here we are.
Anyway, so...
Good God.
So, and also, she's a sharpshooter now, after going to school there. And
yeah, so her husband better, like, stay on the straight and narrow, man.
Right.
Because she's as dangerous as he is. He used to be a Marine.
Yeah, he's a former Marine, and he is currently in the Virginia Fire Academy. He's been a volunteer firefighter at various points during his life, and now he's going to be a paid firefighter, which is awesome.
There you go.
So yeah, we got to watch that online. That was fun.
Okay.
Those are some pretty like high risk jobs though for both of them.
Yeah.
Like he's doing fire stuff. She's doing criminal investigation. It's like, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a bit, but you know.
And then other than that, it was the whole weekend, or the whole of last week mainly, was costume college all the time. And sorry that we can't broadcast at costume college anymore, but the hotel, our old hotel, we were able to set up and everything. The new hotel, even though we had problems at the old hotel, the new hotel is even worse. So it's just better to take the time off rather than have that struggle trying to get all of that in. And the theme for the whole convention, the whole costume college, was bigger, better, more over the top. Okay. And so everything was very sparkly and big, and the gala had the theme of giant sleeves, and so everybody came in with like their 1890s and 1840s with these giant sleeves. And I was going to wear my Amidala palace, I can't remember what it's called,
the battle handmaiden.
Yeah, thanks Sean. But I wasn't actually going to the gala. So I decided it would be silly to to dress like that when my roomie and I were just going to go over to the restaurant after we were going to watch the red carpet, go over to the restaurant, and then we were offered tickets to the gala. Like, as everybody was walking into the gala, there were a couple of tickets that came up, and so we were able to go at the last minute, and I was just wearing my Kaylee engineering jumpsuit, so I was very not in costume for the day. But the service was so much better than it was last year. Last year's service was probably the worst food service I've ever had in my entire life. Yeah, and this year's was like everybody was on their best behavior, because I think we were like, hey, this is unacceptable. What else? The dancing went well. Everybody really liked it. The classes were good. I worked check-in all day Thursday. Sean and I worked check-in. Basically, as soon as I got up, I started working check-in last Thursday. And Sean, as soon as he finished his morning show, jumped out to help me. And so it was all day of like lifting boxes and decorating and et cetera, et cetera. And I didn't really, since I've never done it before and I haven't really paid attention to it, I didn't have a super great idea of what we needed to do for volunteers. So like if I were going to do it again next year, I would have a handle on that, but someone else is doing it next year. So, yeah, that'll be different. I also did check in Saturday morning until 11 and then went to a couple of workshops, and one of my workshops that I was in on Saturday, like, I just couldn't focus on what I was doing because people kept reaching out to me asking for my help on things. And so I was like, I was like, okay, I need to solve this thing. So I ended up just like getting the information on the class and then taking it to do at home. And I finished my project from the class last night. It was super easy. It was like making these ponytails out of yarn. So like kind of anime style ponytails. I made mine too long. So I need to make them shorter so that they read more as a ponytail and not like as, you know, what is that blue thing in your hair?
Well, I mean, they're super hyper Sailor Moon length.
Yeah.
Ponytails. I mean,
they need to be shorter.
They're kind of crazy.
Yeah. And then a lot of that, for some reason, and this wasn't everybody's experience, definitely. I just, like, managed to pick the classes that were not working for me. Like, I went into a lecture on sewing tools, and I don't think that I really realized that it was, sewing tools for absolute beginners. And I am not an absolute beginner. I've been sewing for, like, I don't know, 35 years. There wasn't anything that I really learned in that class, unfortunately. But I didn't read the descriptions, so I just read the headline.
I gotcha.
So, yeah, and then I was tired for a lot of the weekends, so I didn't end up going to some of the classes that I had meant to go to. But it was okay because I visited with people and shopped and on crud. It's not the like winning. The first year when we were back from COVID, so it would have been 2022, Sean got COVID. 2023 I got COVID. 2024 my dad died. We missed the first day and came in, you know, like skidding in on two wheels on Saturday. And then I don't remember getting sick last year, but I could have.
Not sure.
Cat
delivers.
Jeff, you did Old West Days. Tell us about
it. Yes, I did. this is cat delivery coming on. Hi, kitties. Sorry, someone brought in cats for me to pet. I'll see them in a little while. We went to Los... It was originally going to be... my plan was, actually, was myself, Sparrow, Owen, Casey, Rose, and David. And then Sparrow had to work. It was like 90-something up there. So Owen and Casey didn't want to go because of the heat. So it was just me, Rose, and David. we went to Los Rios Rancho.
Oh, Los Rios Rancho. Oh, I didn't realize where it was.
Yeah. Over at Los Rios Ranchos up there, like out by Yucaipa, basically. Mm-hmm. And, And it was fun. I mean, I had the Woody outfit, so to speak, you know.
I
did not bother to wear the poncho because.
Jeff, we're not even on sci-fi.radio anymore.
What? No, it's
not even there.
It says we are.
Eric Gerds just posted, just lost the show on the sci-fi radio.
Well, we reload the page.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. He says back.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just...
Reload the page.
Okay.
This is ridiculous. I'm trying to install this stupid thing, and it's like you have to shut this thing down to load it. And every time I shut the thing down that they want, which is like this Node.js for web framework thing, it just pops right back up. And it will not let me shut it down.
Rude.
This is exhausting. I don't understand what the problem is here.
At least we're on audio.
Yeah, I guess.
So, it was hot. I did not wear that new poncho thing. I didn't even want to take a picture in it because it's so hot. And It wasn't like, it wasn't unbearably hot. It was just hot. And I would, you know, if I were to run the event, I, you know, this is one of those, if I did it sort of things, I'd probably do it like in the fall.
Uh-huh. Know,
before the snow hits and it's cooler.
Yeah.
That's me. but yeah, we looked at a bunch of stuff and then I sat one of the guys at one of the I guess we would call it like history. It's not really a booth. It's sort of like not a tent, but whatever, you know, it's like a fake tarp type thing hanging yeah. over, you know, whatever, Old West style.
Right.
And they would, people come up and they would tell them about history or give them little trivia questions and see if they win something kind of stuff.
That's fun.
And so one of the guys there, he just like waved me over because he had an empty chair and he's like, come on, sit down. Because I guess he saw my face. He's like, boy, it's hot. But I sat down and we talked a while. And he's with a group called Code of the West. I believe is what the name is. I sent Sean the info, but and it's a group of folks that do shows,
uh-huh.
like gunfights or whatever. They're historical, but they're more of a like a play of sorts or gun, you know, or and such. And they so
it
they
sounds like they do street theater at events. They're like, hey, let's go have a shootout.
Yeah, and they would have like, you know, they'd base it on some historic figure from, you know, Old West figure from back then. But yeah, we talked for a while. He wants me to join their group.
Uh-huh.
Like, do you have a free Saturday every now and then? I'm like, not really. But he was a nice guy. He was, you know, he said it was a 501c3 their group. So anyway. That was cool, and then we just basically went around, saw a bunch of stuff. We saw Fiddlin' with Farley was there. He was did a show on a stage, and then we got to sit with him and talk for a little while.
I wonder if you were there the same day our friend Aaron was there. He wrote a very
no, that's not the same place, Sean. Aaron was at Knott's Berry Farm.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Different
place. So they do this one weekend out of the year, every year. It's like, I think it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I think it's 3 days.
Huh.
But I think Farley's only there on like Saturday. So that's one we picked.
Was this the one in Julian?
Huh? No, it's in, Jeff, say where it was again. I forgot.
Oh, sorry. Los Rios Rancho.
Right. Los Rios Rancho.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the kid of the guy. It's the kids of the guy that was like,
right. It's Riley's Farms kids.
Yeah, Riley Farms.
So I guess it's technically Yucaipa, but yeah. I always think of Riley's Farm as being in Julian.
Yeah.
But still, like, ugh, really hot.
Yeah.
Gross. Yeah. It was really warm. It all took place in this large grass area.
Yeah.
So a lot of stuff set up. There's a I took a picture. I think I only took one photo. Rose took pictures.
Huh.
It was. They had a stagecoach this year.
That's fun.
So, yeah. Yeah, it was looking stupid. Why is my phone?
Oh, interesting. Kansas Mercantile was there. She used to always be at Costume College.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was pretty fun. I mean, there's the photos if I can find them. Like a single photo, I put a photo in the Facebook thing so you can see the stagecoach. But it's.
Did you do any U pick?
Hmm.
I'm looking at the featured attractions, and they have you pick your own apples, strawberries, and veggies.
Oh, no, we did not. That was where you would actually go out in the area and somewhere and pick stuff.
I would think it would be early for apples.
Yeah. Most places had, like, berries, and I can't remember what they were.
Oh.
You can go pick berries.
Nice.
Yeah. But
well, Yeah, they
so
have
we did that, you know.
A ton of stuff on here. It looks fun.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot. It's I think it's about equal to, like, the last time we did that, one of the Dickens fairs at that one park. It's about that equal size, maybe a little more.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Well, it looks like it has the same people selling things as as that did.
Dinosaur. Yeah. So, but it was cool. Yeah.
That's cool.
They're there, and there was a parking lot below that had some other vendors below, too. So they were just below that were.
Nice.
Like geologists and stuff. Pretty cool.
When did you go see Spider-Man?
Friday. Like, it was Friday morning, I think. Like, it was like 8 o'clock or something Friday morning.
Oh my gosh.
The local.
Bright
yeah.
and early. We
yeah.
managed to see it on Tuesday because they have discount tickets on Tuesdays.
Okay.
And so we went on Tuesday at 4 o'clock to the local 3D showing.
Okay.
It was pretty good in 3D.
Yeah, we just did the standard. I usually don't go in for the bells and whistles for a lot of these things unless that's the best possible way that you're gonna see what they want you to see, sort of thing. But
yeah, this just added depth to it. I don't think it was really necessary to see it in 3D.
It wasn't bad though.
But yeah, it wasn't bad or intrusive, and the screen was really big. I think that was actually why we chose that theater over the 3D was that it was the in our local theater, it's the biggest screen.
Okay.
Right, the 3D just came with it, but it was the biggest screen that we could see it on.
Gotcha.
And because we went on Tuesday and it was before like 6 o'clock, and it ended up not being too expensive, so that was good.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Oh, I liked it, you know. I thought it was really good. It was very fun.
I thought it was one of the best MCU movies I've seen in several years.
Yeah, I loved how they handled the Punisher, and him with it. I already knew from trailers and whatnot, and who was going to be in it, what the actress was going to play.
So I
was expecting it to happen, and it did. Look, okay.
I knew, but I had forgotten. So when that actress showed up, I went, gasp.
Yeah. I knew she was coming in it and stuff, and I was like, she's going to play this. And I'm looking at the trailer going, this is happening. Yeah, that's probably that. And then, lo and behold, that was right, but
I really liked it. I thought it was really good. I left the theater feeling upbeat and positive, and there were several times during the movie that I, like, teared up.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, I felt like it was definitely worth the money to go see it in the theater.
It's it's sad that this is, like, the fourth one in the series, and it's impressive that the fourth one was as good as it was. You would think they'd be running out of steam by now, but all of their introductions they did were great. The additional characters they brought in and things like that. Sometimes you get character overload. Like, if you look at the old, you know, Batman, like the third Batman movie, even the second Batman movie, the Michael Keaton movie, they just, like, threw too many people at it. But this didn't feel that way. Like, you had characters coming and going, and you're like, okay, it makes sense that they're here, which was really good. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, this crew can continue to make Spider-Man movies as long as they want to. They haven't had a misfire yet. It's been really good, and we just rewatched all of them in preparation to see this one.
Well, we watched the part where Spider-Man was in Captain America, and then we watched
Civil War is what we what we did.
And then we watched the three Spider-Man movies. But we didn't watch any other movies that Spider-Man might have appeared in.
Right.
Okay.
We didn't go, like, down every rabbit hole, but we did see a lot of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, it was good. Good to have that refresher, and, you know, to go into the movies feeling like we were up to date, and Yeah. But they set things up in a way that you don't have to do what we did. They sort of remind you of what's going on. And, I kind of dug it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they did a pretty good job. I think that the way that they framed the trailers before this was really clever, I think.
Because of what they were doing. I skipped all the trailers, just in case.
I saw only the first trailer. I didn't see the others.
And, I saw them all.
That was like, it's like the teaser one or whatever. That's the only one I saw.
Mm-hmm.
So the way they framed that was really well done, because it was one where it sort of like tricked you, you know, like into thinking that they're going to do something like this or this, and ended up doing that kind of thing, you know. So they did a great enough job with the trailers to do that, at least with the first one. I didn't think so. Second ones, I don't know. For other ones, I have no idea.
One of the things in the movie that I thought was very cute, and that and I don't feel like this is a spoiler telling you about it, is that there's a little app that they show that's called Spidey Tracker.
Yep.
You can actually go to SpideyTracker.com, and it's there.
Oh, so nice.
You can look it up on your phone. You can do it on your laptop. And it's like there are Spidey sightings that people have reported. Although, I just went to Anaheim, and I did report a Spidey sighting at DCA and sent them some pictures. They haven't added it to the map yet. And some of them are like, we saw Spider-Man here, and it's like a fan in costume, or it's something like that.
Okay.
And then sometimes it's also like Tom and Zendaya were here, you know, in this place, which is very funny. Anyway, it's a cute little thing. You can enjoy it outside of the movie, I think, without spoilers. But if you see the movie, it makes it like that much more fun. It has no real impact on the story at all. It's like it's just a fun little bonusy thing that they do, and it's really cute. So if you want to kind of poke around and see something fun, you can do that. But now Jeff, did you see The Odyssey?
No, I haven't seen The Odyssey yet.
Okay, because I was kind of interested to have someone do like a compare and contrast. The Odyssey, I guess, got extended, and we are reconnected, and everything should be good until that crashes out again.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Boy. Yeah, technologically, it's my Friday, I think it was Friday, or it was Thursday. My computer crashed in the middle of my show, and I could not get it back, and I ended up reinstalling Windows. I reinstalled so much stuff. It was just absolutely the worst. I think we suffered today. We got started at about a half hour late with the video. Kilted Terror popped in, didn't miss a thing on video because it wasn't there. But you did miss our non-spoiler review of Spider-Man. Six thumbs up.
Yeah, that's right.
So there you go.
Hopefully the chaplain fellow does, you know, wants us all to go out and to the hospitals and stuff for, you know, charity stuff too.
Hmm.
Like Ghostbusters and Star Wars or whatever else.
I think that would be terrific. Out there in Burbank, getting connected into that loop with all the hospitals and things out there would be pretty good. It is a smallish hospital, but they are connected to the Disney Family Cancer Center. And I think they see a lot of cancer kids and things like that. And that's like right up our alley. Anyway, we exchanged all the information. And I told him, too, that if he just wants us to come out and support like a fundraiser, or they have a carnival, they just want us as bodies to hang out and goof off with the kids, that we're there for it. We'll see what happens. But he actually followed me to my car. he bought me a coffee. He followed me to my car. Was super excited by the whole thing. Plus, I gave him an excuse to ditch out of a weekly meeting, I think. So he had that going for him. Anyway, all just right. A tremendous, tremendous guy. I was very glad to meet his acquaintance. And honestly, having been raised in this hardcore church, having gone to seminary and that sort of thing, I could see if I had stuck with it, maybe ending up in that sort of a place and doing that sort of thing. My life has worked out quite well, and I like the level of service that I get to provide to the world as, you know, yep. a Jedi is pretty awesome. But, you know, I'd like to think that I'd have ended up maybe in that thing as opposed to, like, my church, which is weird and that kind of, which is why I got out of all of it. But anyway, and nice people over there. And also a bit of a relief, too, because, like I said, I've heard from people who felt that they got substandard care because they weren't a member of the religion in question of the hospital. And, you know, people like to get freaked out about stuff. And they're like, you know, what if I go in and they need an organ and I'm not Catholic? And they're like, they just decide to take my kidney. It's like, that's not going to happen. Calm down.
None of this heathen demon parts to give to our parishioners.
Right, that's right, you know. Devil hands.
Oh, before we do Star Wars,
sure.
I do want to mention that it is National Root Beer Float Day, so
yep.
No.
We are enjoying our root beer floats, but since we were having so many technical difficulties, I finished mine.
I haven't started mine. Colleen,
yours is probably entirely melted.
I'm sure. Colleen put them in these cool cups that we got from China.
Shanghai.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which really so Duffy and Friends.
And I've got nice. Chippendale.
Which is very cool. So, there, show your cup, Colleen. Other side of you. There you go. Right on.
Okay.
Colleen's camera is farther away than mine is.
Gotcha.
Anyway, it, I haven't had mine at all, and it is a big,
I should have shown, soggy. Like, the characters.
Oh.
Wait.
Yeah. The only thing I have here is in the freezer downstairs of like is
nice.
Frozen Snicker ice cream bar thingies.
That's well, we tried to warn you in advance,
okay,
Jeff, so that
yeah,
you
but
could...
there wasn't much time. Kit, I put the the note on our chat that it was National Root Beer Float Day, and then Kit said, "Hey, do we want to make that like a cocktail party?" And we just went ahead and. Went for it.
Did you dust this with something? Did you
No, the ice cream tastes weird.
Hmm.
Oh. Thanks.
I thought maybe she dusted it with like a little chocolate powder, cocoa powder or something. But yeah, mine is soup.
Yes.
Oh dear.
Soup and in
it's
my beard.
Warm and the ice cream was weird and yeah.
Gotcha. Well, we're almost at 8 o'clock. So
yeah, we've got just a couple of minutes. I'm sure we can drag.
Well, you
our
could
feet.
Do. It's 8 o'clock right now. You could do top of the hour.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
my computer
says
it's 8 o'clock.
Then I will trust your computer. We got a little bit of a half hour late start today, so apologies for that. Technical difficulties with the video driver on my computer, that of course didn't crop up until we decided to connect. To Facebook or YouTube or Twitch, which is where you can watch us. You have been able to listen to us on sci-fi.radio. We're trying to keep that rolling along. This show is Docking Bay 94. I'm Sean Obi-Sean Crosby.
This is Jeff Solo.ho.
I'm Colleen Kaylee Crosby.
And, of course, a big shout-out and thanks to Kit Bobakit Sowine, who functions as the producer on our show, keeps all our topics in order, our show document running, and... the Facebook page with all the memes and stuff. I'm still having this awful cough that I just can't shake. It's just no cool. Grr.
No fun.
Nope.
I understand.
So we went to Costco today. There's some guy with a cigar. And I'm like, I'm going to make you eat that.
Inside the store?
No, in the parking lot.
Okay.
He was in the parking lot in his car, but it was like he was long gone. He had driven down the aisle, and wherever the heck he went, he was gone. And it's you could still smell it when we walked back through there. It was just awful.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Oh my gosh.
I understand. Terrible.
A side note, by the way, about Costume College. So all of my stuff was audio related, beyond helping Colleen for check-in. Of which I wasn't a tremendous amount of help.
You were helped during the setup.
I set up a lot. I fielded a lot of questions while people were getting into line and stuff like that. So I had, on Sunday, they had the Infernal Tea, which was like sort of a goth tea. And so I provided background music and ran the board and stuff for that, dressed as a zombie. That was pretty fun. And then the night before at the gala, their theme was sleeves, ginormous sleeves. And the only thing I have that has really big sleeves was my Jedi costume. So put that on. And the dance was good. It was a little bit of a younger crowd there than usual, especially towards the end. And so when they figured out that I was accommodating to requests, they kept coming up and like, oh, we need to hear this from K-pop Demon Hunters, or we need to hear this from something. Or, they bring me something that I like didn't know at all. And I'm a little passive aggressive when I do my requests. If I don't know what the song is, I'm like, hey, this is a request from so-and-so. So if you don't like it, it's their fault. You know, which is pretty, pretty funny. Yeah. But anyway, we had a pretty good time. We went till about midnight, shut stuff down, got out, and you were missed, Jeff. I didn't have my wingman with me, and that was a bummer. But it was not a bad evening. And there were probably about 20 people on the dance floor by the time we shut it down. And that's good. There were a lot to start. There were like, 50, 60, something like that. Starts huge, and then people trickle off. But that there were 20 at the end of the night is pretty good for Costume College.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah. So I felt like I had a pretty reasonable weekend and, did a good job.
Yeah. That's good.
All righty. Star Wars stuff, yeah?
I'm sure. Star Wars stuff. Whew, we only have two birthdays. So, August 3rd, 1911 is when Alex McCrindle was born. He was General John Dodonna in Star Wars A New Hope.
Hey, I have dressed as him.
Yeah.
Cool.
See? He had, pulling up the IMDb, he has 68 credits, that being one of them. So, not a huge number, but
pretty respectable. And the question is like, were any of those anything that we know beyond once you're in Star Wars? I mean, that's it. It dominates your IMDb. But Eye of the Needle, which was like a cool spy thriller.
Yeah.
What else?
Riley,
Ace of Spies, which was pretty good. Dick Turpin is a movie I recognize. But yeah, a lot of these, they're just like, never heard of.
Apparently he was on a show for 32 episodes called This Man Craig. So that must have been popular.
Hmm.
But yeah, so there you go.
Did he play Craig?
But yeah, but still, that's really good. Our next one and last one is August 4th, 1948, is when Ian Liston was born. He played Jansen, Wes Jansen. And he was in one of the snow speeders, and I think Wedge yells, "Nice shot, Jansen."
Nice shot, that's Jansen. He was the gunner. Cable detached. I don't know if they dubbed him or not, but he had such like a California accent. Cable away! Cable detached! He could have been like Keanu Reeves with that voice, which was really funny. But he was also in A Bridge Too Far.
Yeah. 38 credits, including the Star Wars one. So, I'm not real familiar with all these. You know, of course, you know, Empire, but
right.
Yeah.
Sadly, no longer with us, but we did meet him as part of Hazard Squadron at the celebration conventions, and he was just a really nice guy.
Sweet.
He also had a part in a movie that I remember seeing first run, which featured Gregory Hines, Helen Mirren, Isabella Rossellini, Geraldine Page, and Mikhail Baryshnikov. There's a movie called White Knights.
White Knights.
And it's where a defected ballet dancer's airplane is forced.
I thought you said defective.
No, defected. Had to land in Russia, where they try to repatriate him.
Yeah.
And they put him with Gregory Hines, who's an American expat married to a Russian, and there is dancing while they try to figure out how to escape.
Yeah, exactly.
But I remember really liking it, and it was also a movie. Phil Collins, I think, did some soundtrack stuff for it. So if you ever hear a song called "Separate Lives," which is a little very sad, depressing love theme thing, duet that Phil Collins did with Marilyn Martin, that came from that movie.
Oh, okay.
I remember very much liking it, and actually, there's a really great dance-off in the middle of it, where one is a tap dancer, Gregory Hines is a tap dancer, Baryshnikov is a ballet dancer, and they make a bet to see, you know, who can dance better, and it's kind of cool. So, yeah, I remember very much liking that movie.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, Ian Liston's part in it is something really weird, like, you know, he drives the car or something like that. Yeah. You know, it's like some weird thing.
Offside character.
Oh, he's a co-pilot. So he's in the airplane, I think, that gets forced down. I think he's the co-pilot in that. So he's a pilot in Star Wars. He's a pilot in White Knights. I'm sensing a theme. Oh.
Play their strengths.
Right. Exactly. That's kind of right. He was also in Doctor Who in 1979. So old school Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, anyway, he was a nice guy when we got to meet him. So
nice. For the actual other history portion, August 1st, 1975, Guillermo del Toro. George finished his third draft of Star Wars, and it was called The Adventures of Luke Skywalker Across the Forbidden Zone.
Yep, Luke Starkiller. I think it was the fourth draft where it really kind of came together.
Yeah.
So any of the drafts before that are a little more funky. You can get them online now. You can download them and read them if you want to see the evolution of Star Wars. I was fortunate enough in about 1983, 84 to have been in the legal offices of 20th Century Fox on a day where my neighbor had taken me in. My neighbor was a pretty good guy. I used to babysit for him, and he was in the legal department of 20th Century Fox, and he knew that my home life was pretty crappy, and so he'd be like, hey, you want to go into work with me and be on the studio lot? And I'm like, sure. And so I would go in, and I would tell people I was a PA, and I would work for a day. I'd like go in and go, hey, I'm your PA for today, I have a hard out at 5. You know, so that I didn't miss my ride off. and like go in and like do a bunch of stuff. And so I worked on a bunch of movies and things. But one day it was raining, and he's like, I'm so sorry. I should have looked at the weather. And I'm like, no, this is cool. We're hanging around. Everything's great. And he's like, I got something for you. And he sent one of his legal assistants basically to the vault, and they pulled out everything related to Star Wars. All of the like everything related to Star Wars, and it's so all of the scripts and early versions and older versions, all of the stuff that they archive there in the legal department. It was super cool. Oh. Super, super cool. And it was because of that visit, actually, that I ended up with a phone number that turned out to be the ILM head of production, Chrissy England, over at Lucasfilm. I called her. George was in her office, and I got to talk to George Lucas for about 20, 25 minutes.
Wow.
Because I had called to say, hey, can I interview you, Chrissy England? And she's like, hold on a second. And she puts me on hold, and she comes back, and she's like, you and I can talk later, but someone's here you might want to talk to. It's like George Lucas.
Nice.
It's like, oh, my God. And thank God my teacher was listening in the room with me, because yeah. I had proof.
Yeah. What do you mean your teacher was listening? Oh, you mean you called later?
I called from school.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
I called from school because it was a school assignment. And so it's like, you know, middle of the week, work week for all those guys. And you know, my teacher was there as an advisor to make sure things didn't get out of hand and, you know, keep on track and that kind of thing. So
cool.
Yeah. So it was really, really very funny. And so when basically when we published the thing in the newspaper, they're like, you didn't talk to George Lucas. And the teacher's like, yeah, he did. Very funny.
Pretty cool.
Damn.
Yeah. It was kind of cool as a teenager. Oh my God. But they wouldn't let me ask questions. I think it was 83. They wouldn't let me ask questions about Return of the Jedi, which was either just coming out or had just come out. And okay. they weren't really talking about it. I could ask about anything else.
Okay.
But I couldn't ask about Return of the Jedi. So
nice.
Yeah, okay. It was pretty cool.
Ah, man, that's cool. I'll dig that. Find that thing and dig it up. next news, August 5th. 1977. That's when Darth Vader met Wolfman Jack on the Midnight Special.
Right. I've played that on my radio show in the morning. It's pretty funny. And I think for a while Darth Vader's voice was Thurl Ravenscroft, who basically was Tony the Tiger, and was the deepest voice in Hollywood at the time. And so I think even then on the Midnight Special, they had called him in to do the voice.
Oh, okay.
Which is really cool. I wonder if, do a quick search here, if I have it, I'll play a little bit. It's only like a few things. The problem is, of course, that it shares a name with an awesome song.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And
yeah.
So finding it,
you may
have to go look it up. Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. I've got it. This is awesome. All right. I'm going to give this a play.
Ooh, ouch.
And it's just, I've got it here under Darth Vader meets the Wolfman.
Place yours. Ladies and gentlemen, Lord Darth Vader of Star Wars. Nice to have you with us.
Yes.
In the movie Star Wars, I remember at the end of the picture, you floated out into outer space, kind of like spaced out. Understand, so to speak. Now, you flew all over space. How come you landed here in Burbank, California?
I am looking for slaves.
Oh my gosh, the place.
Okay, the Arcan. He's looking for slaves. If I touch this, what happens?
You die.
You remind me of my agent, you know that?
Yes. Take me to your leader.
You mean Alice Cooper?
What is an Alice Cooper?
Hey, talk about big times. You're on the Midnight Special. Next week's going to be really something special.
Anyway, just a little something there. It's Not Thurl Ravenscroft, as I thought. Yeah. I think, but he definitely did. Yeah. He definitely did the.
You know who he does sound like?
Who's that?
So in the holiday special, there was one of the Empire guys that was going around inside the shop. And he was trying to convince him to get like the rumor and
right
all
with
other stuff,
Art Carney, you know? San Don.
Yeah, whoever that actor is. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it sounds like that guy. That's cool.
That Imperial guy.
Yeah. The Thurl Ravenscroft. If you want to hear him as Darth Vader, go look up the Donnie and Marie show, because he was definitely the Darth Vader voice in the Donnie and Marie show. Ooh. That's really funny. Anyway, everybody wanted a piece of Star Wars, of course, when it came out.
Oh yeah.
And so having him be on the Midnight Special, the one to watch that's really weird, and they're all really weird, by the way. There's like Mark Hamill went on German TV and did a thing. Like one of the best ones is the Muppet Show, where they had Mark Hamill on opposite his cousin Luke Skywalker.
Yes.
And but one of the really super weird ones is the one for Richard Pryor. Pryor does a cantina, they call it Star Wars Bar. And not only is it like really weird, like I'm pretty sure he uses the N-word in the middle of it, because it was like it was a different time, right? So it's like, you know, 1977, and Richard Pryor's like, hey, N-word, da 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 da. It's like, whoa, wait, back that up. Oh, it's so funny. The times, they were different.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
We have one last one, and it is July 31st, 2003. That's when the fans got to pick what the paint job was going to be on Obi-Wan's droid, R4-G9, in Episode 3.
That was a big deal, I remember. They gave you, like, a couple of options. And let you take on the vote. Yeah. And I'll show you guys on video what this looks like, because it was a little unusual. He was red and white, and it was he had a copper dome with kind of like a pattern in it, and so he was like, he was like two tones of copper on the metallic tone. And I think the only way you really saw him was like you saw his dome stuck to Obi-Wan's ship.
Yeah.
And that was kind of it. And especially in 2003, I think that put it into Episode 3. So you didn't like see much of him.
I think you saw bits of him flying everywhere, but
right. Is he the one who got his head cut off by the buzz droids? He's like, hey, that droid that you chose, we just killed him. Sorry, sorry about that. That's how that happens.
Yeah,
that's pretty funny. All right, thanks, Jeff.
That's all Star Wars.
Woo!
All right, so theme parks. Yep. In Universal Studios, neighbors are complaining of the screams from Universal's new coaster, Hollywood Drift. And there's only been a few soft opens, but apparently everybody's screaming a lot.
They're still soft opening it. This is the roller coaster that is based on Fast and the Furious. And so it's four cars in a train. So there's like two or four people in a car. And when the train is going through the track, the cars drift. And I say that in quotes. So basically, they unlock the car that you're sitting in, which is a little fiberglass car, like one of those little quarter ride-on cars kind of deals that you're strapped into. They unlock those cars, and they spin on the train while you are going. And so you can be going sideways, backwards, in circles, as the train just travels along the track. And of course, there are the usual ups and downs and twists and turns and things that you find in a roller coaster with this added craziness that it's like being in a teacup, a Disney teacup on a train. And so, of course, people are screaming their heads off.
Yeah. So I believe there's inversions. So I don't think it's just like regular, you're just up. I think that you actually go upside down at some point.
I think there's a loop. And there's a thing here. There's a video here that I can show you guys that has
Primeval Whirl or the new Guardians of the Galaxy ride in Florida, you know.
Right. Let's see if I can get to some ride video footage. Here we go. So they're pretty cool with the soft opening, but it's they did not take into account all of the screaming. Now, people scream in Disneyland. People scream at Knott's Berry Farm. People scream at Magic Mountain. Magic Mountain is out in the sticks. It's not a big deal. Knott's Berry Farm is right near everything.
Yeah.
Universal
is right near everything, too, though.
Right. Universal kind of is too. And so I don't know how much they were expecting the screaming to carry. And I don't know what they're going to be able to do about it.
Yeah, I don't even know how close Universal is to homes, you know.
Well, I mean, there's their whole backlot area. There's a lot of space around it. But I think once you go to the north, there's a whole bunch of there's a whole bunch of housing developments and things. So, I mean, I can see where that would be a bit of a bother. I mean, the Anaheim people at Disneyland always complain about the fireworks and stuff.
Oh yeah.
And so the thing that you just saw over on the video, if you're watching the video, they're putting in decibel microphones to see how loud the screaming actually is over there.
Yeah.
Which is kind of an interesting take. I'm playing our local Channel 5 news story here. But I've seen people's reports on it. I've seen their first person camera footage of it. It's pretty good. But like on the ride, it doesn't seem like people are screaming excessively. But you know, I mean, if you have been living in relative quiet, and of course the park is open till like 10 to midnight, right? At night. So, you know, nobody wants to hear screaming at midnight when you're trying to sleep. We'll see. We'll have to see. I don't know what they're going to be able to do to fix that at all. I mean, they can't enclose it. That sort of beats the whole purpose of it. And
well, I'll have to figure it out.
Yeah, so we'll keep you posted as we knew. It was supposed to open already, but apparently it is the noise complaints that's kind of keeping things from fully opening. Although Universal says they're going to announce an opening date soon.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen one, so.
Okay.
Huh. Star Wars food cart with hovering droids is coming to Disneyland. If you saw the Mandalorian and Grogu movie, you saw the Hugo's food stand operated by a four-armed Ardenian vendor named Hugo Durant, voiced by Martin Scorsese. They are, Imagineers are currently working on this food cart. They plan to showcase it at D23 later this month and then open it at Disneyland before the end of the year.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and that's
okay.
This was a very Blade Runner-y kind of moment with this food stand where, like, Mando goes in and he's trying to get information and that kind of thing. I thought it was very
interesting.
Apparently
they're using magnets to
make the droids hover.
Make everything hover, yeah.
Yeah.
When I was at Mattel Toys, my buddy Kevin Gray, super, super smart man, built a really interesting thing when we were trying to get the license for Star Wars toys away from Kenner. And one of the things that he built was, and this is in 1993 or 4, one of the things he built was a magnetic platform that would make an X-Wing fighter model kit, which is reasonably light, hover. And so there was like a control gantry arm above it, there was a base below it, and it would hover in between the two, and you could give it a little spin, and it would like spin in zero gravity, right? Pretty interesting. Okay. And the way he achieved this is he had electromagnets and a microprocessor. And the microprocessor would work the top electromagnet, and if there was a heavier draw on it, it would correct. And then it had an electromagnet in the bottom, and if it was too heavy of a draw, it would push things up. And that's what kept the ship in between these two magnets hovering. I could totally see Disney doing this, because this was something that happened 30 years ago. My buddy was able to figure this thing out. With the technology now, Disney should be able to kick butt at this.
Oh, yeah.
It should look really, really cool. So we'll have to see how it goes. And Disney's been doing neat stuff. There's a picture here I've got up here of the BDX droids, which are their sort of little duck droids that have been walking around the land.
Yeah. And
those have been really fun. So, you know, I appreciate when Disney does something a little unusual.
I mean, I think they need more things walking around the land.
We all do. But the problem is that you can't have somebody in an alien costume walking around without a handler.
Yeah.
And the droids have to have a handler because people abuse them. And in fact, those little BDX droids, they largely keep them corralled in one area. And then they'll walk them from point A to point B. But mostly they have to keep them in this corral area because people will run up and mess with them.
Yeah, I know.
But the whole area was supposed to have astromech droids that were essentially Roombas. They would just cruise around on their own. And then when they were running low on juice, they would go recharge themselves and they would come back out. And they were all just supposed to be atmosphere. But the tests they did, kids kept beating them up. And parents kept watching them beat them up and not making them accountable for it. It's really a drag.
Yeah.
It's why we can't have nice things.
Yeah.
In sad news, at Disney World, on the monorail last week, someone's service dog died of heat-related illness. The monorail was evacuated, and it turned out that the dog had been overheated because it's been really, really hot and the pavement makes everything hotter. There was an extreme heat advisory for the area with heat index values reaching 110 degrees.
Yeah.
So, that's really tragic. Yeah.
I don't know about Florida, and I think you and I have talked about this, Jeff. If it gets too hot, they don't run the monorail in Anaheim.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Because it doesn't vent very well.
It's just air.
Yeah. You know,
they don't have AC. There's no AC.
Yeah.
Well, and I also read some opinions from people who are Disney World guests quite frequently and have service dogs. There's somebody in particular who her 5-year-old son has very serious diabetes, and he has a diabetic alert dog, and if the weather is going to be too hot, they leave the dog at home because of the dangers of heat in an amusement park, like the pavement getting too hot for the dog to walk on and things like that. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to blame these people for what happened to their dog.
Oh, no.
I'm just talking about, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you of course have to be aware about your animals. And so, this article says that, they've had one of the most persistently hot stretches, of heat advisory in the area. And so the National Weather Service issued an extreme heat advisory for the area on Wednesday, the third warning in a single week, with heat index values reaching 110 degrees.
Yeah.
I mean, that's hot. That's really, really hot.
Yeah.
People here in Anaheim, with their dogs, they have been putting booties on their dogs so that they don't have to have their paws on the hot cement.
Yep. That's what you should do.
And there have been, I've seen people taking advantage of obviously air-conditioned areas for their service dogs and things. And it's just really a thing that you have absolutely got to have to stay on. Colleen and I went to lunch. We went to a Sharky's to have lunch the other day. Having confused it with Baja Sharkies, at least on my end.
Oh, I was confused too.
Baja Sharkies is like a cantina bar that has pretty cool bar food. And this was more like just a, hey, fish taco place kind of a deal. It wasn't bad, and it was fine. Okay. But we were in the parking lot, and we heard a dog barking, like, in the car.
Oh.
And it's like, what kind of a person... And admittedly, we're near the ocean, so the temperatures are cooler. But inside our cars, it's like 85, 90 degrees.
But we don't know if the dog was actually in a car or not.
We don't. But
we just heard a dog
But
barking.
It really just kind of like, you know, set our spidey sense off.
Yeah.
Because we're like, oh my gosh. And of course, you there are a lot of times you'll walk up on a Tesla and the dog will be inside, and there's a note on the window that says he's comfortable, he has water, the AC is on. I'm going to be gone for 15 minutes. Please don't break my window and call the police. So, I feel so bad for these folks. It's really pretty terrible. And like every animal is part of your family, service dogs more so. Just really, really terrible. The fact that they've just got to kind of work through that is very sad.
Sean, I mean, I don't know what they do for the monorail in Florida, because I've been there quite a few times and taken the monorail, and I don't know. I don't remember if they're air conditioned or not in Florida.
I don't think they are either. I know that when they put their new Skyway thing in, they tried to air condition those, and they've had all sorts of problems keeping that air conditioning functioning because of the heat, the strain that it's put on it.
It says the Florida trains are equipped with air conditioning and run continuously through the extreme summer heat.
Okay.
And
I don't know whether the dog could have already been ill when it got on the monorail from walking around on like the cement.
Sure.
And everything in the extreme. And also we don't know what type of dog it was.
That could have been like a big temperature change issue that, like, you know.
Yeah.
You go from extreme heat to like really fast.
And it could have been.
Yeah.
We don't know what kind of a service dog. Like, was it a golden retriever service dog or Labrador service dog, or was it like someone's service dog, which means that it
like
could
emotional
be
sport or something,
like a pug or something, and they are like they can't handle the heat even more than other dogs because of their brachius.
And there's
their noses make it harder for them to breathe,
right? And dogs pant instead of sweat, it's like it's crazy. And of course, hearing about this incident, it's all third hand. Somebody was there on the train, but they didn't get all the information. The people around them who were in a closer position to witness what happened didn't speak English, so they couldn't get an update from them.
Basically what happened from a news standpoint is that someone on Reddit said, hey, the monorail just got evacuated. Does anybody know why? And then people started chiming in, and that's where all the information came. And all the news articles that I could find all trace back to that one one post on.
Right. And then, yeah. And there's like, there, it's not being reported on the local news station. It's being reported on Facebook, Instagram, Inside the Magic.
Social media news.
Right, right, right. So that kind of thing. Right. And so, of course, you know, we believe that it happened. I'm sure it's a real event. That's not in question. It's just that we haven't had any investigative reporting done. It's whatever we get is sort of secondhand information. So, but yeah, just awful. I feel so bad for those folks.
Yeah.
Sean, do you want to take the rest in peace section?
I will indeed. We lost a few people over the past couple of weeks. Chuck Russell died at the age of 74. He was the director of Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors, which was actually a movie I worked on, doing some Freddy Krueger special effects and making some Freddy Krueger gloves. He directed The Mask with Jim Carrey and whatnot. If you remember a movie called Dreamscape, he did that one too. And he did the remake of The Blob that was done like in the 90s, I think. So, he basically gave Cameron Diaz her start, launched Patricia Arquette's career, all sorts of people, and Jim Carrey, of course, cemented his thing. He did Eraser with Arnold Schwarzenegger, did The Scorpion King, which was the first leading role for Dwayne Johnson, worked with John Travolta, Bruce Willis, all sorts of really interesting stuff. So sad to hear his passing. Denver Parton passed away at the age of 82. That was Dolly Parton's brother. She was a big star. He was just a normal guy. He was a crane operator. He was a farmer. And they didn't share what he passed away from. But his older brother, Dave Parton, led him to building bridges for things, which was really cool. So anyway, sad to hear of his passing. E.J. Parker passed away at the age of 82. She was an actress and a singer in Hello, Dolly! And That's Life, which was a Broadway show that she was in with Robert Morse. It was a Broadway-style musical comedy on ABC. It didn't last long. It only lasted like one season. The critics loved it, and I guess the public went, eh. Which happens all the time. We loved Gallivant, and, you know, the critics thought it was great, and most of the public went, eh. But did say what she passed from? Alzheimer's disease at her home in Las Vegas, sadly. Let's see. We had Glenn Hansard passed away at the age of 56. He was an Irish musician who got an Oscar for a song called Once. He died in a motorcycle crash on the outskirts of Dublin. And that's kind of an unfortunate accident. It was just him. He, happened. Just a single vehicle crash. Mm. And, so the indie musical Once had the song Falling Slowly, which is the song that he got the, Oscar from. And he was in a rock band called The Frames, that he'd been connected with for a long time. And then this week, Vincent Pastore from The Sopranos passed away at the age of 80. Always played a mob guy, a tough guy. He was Salvatore Bompensiero on The Sopranos. And say what he passed away from? They just found him passed away. Natural causes, it says. He was a big charity guy, helped everybody out, really appreciated his position in the community, and he was in Goodfellas and did all sorts of stuff. And in fact, I can't say his character's nickname on the show because it's won't pass FCC.
Wow.
He's a big female body part. This is basically as far as I can go.
Oh.
Gene Gibson passed away at the age of 100, which is crazy, in Honolulu. And she represented the Rosie the Riveter campaign during World War II. The Pacific Historic Parks had announced her death. And says, our thoughts are with all who knew her and loved her, especially her fellow Rosies and the many friends whose lives she touched. She was 18 years old, left her home to go work as a welder in Seattle, building destroyers for the war effort, traveled to Hawaii to share her experiences doing that, participated in commemorative Pearl Harbor Memorial events, and says she especially loved encouraging young girls to pursue their dreams and reminding them that they could achieve whatever they sent their minds to. Gibson, along with all of the fellow Rosies, were collectively awarded the Congressional Gold Medal in 2024 for their contributions to the efforts in World War II. So there you go.
Wow.
Wow.
Jeff, you want to do a speed round?
Sure.
Oh, wait, I got one more. I'm sorry.
There's say it about
one last person who was below my below.
I thought I just missed it.
My fault. No, and it's kind of relative because the Spider-Man movie just came out. If you remember No Way Home, when they're at Ned's grandma's house, the Spider-Man starts showing up there at the house, and Ned's grandma makes Andrew go up and start cleaning cobwebs off the ceiling. Andrew Garfield.
Since he's up there anyway.
He's up there anyway, right? And so she kind of bosses him around. She does it in Tagalog. She was very much praised by the Philippine community for representing like an honest Filipina woman in the movie. And it was such a high-profile movie. Everybody was so excited about it. She passed away at the age of 82, just a couple of days ago, just after this movie opened. So I didn't want to miss her because she was really proud of her role in the last movie, and that she got to be like an honest Filipina. She just absolutely really loved that.
Cool. Jeff, do you want to take a speed round?
Yep. Okay, so Ryan Gosling, who's been getting a lot of great roles recently, actually, Project Carol Murray and whatnot, he's going to be in that new Star Wars Starfighter, the main character, I believe.
God, that guy's everywhere.
So he will now play Ghost Rider. He's going to be playing the new Ghost Rider for Marvel with the same director of Starfighter, Sean Levy, and the writer of that too, Jonathan Tropper, all are going to be working on it. It says next year. No, it doesn't. Star Wars Starfighter comes out next year, I think, May of 27.
Right.
But, I mean, there's not really a lot of other news about it in the article. It just says, like, you know, this is what these, you know, what has come before, yada, yada, yada. So, we shall see what they come up with. But, I don't know, right? I mean, I'm not sure which one he's going to, which character of Ghost Rider he's going to play, because there's been, like, three or four different Ghost Riders. And, of course, there's the old books Ghost Rider, which I really wanted to see. But that never happened.
Right.
You know.
Well, yeah, we've gone through a couple of Ghost Riders in the MCU, I liked the one in S.H.I.E.L.D. I thought that one was pretty great. They did a good job with him. And but, you know, I guess they didn't want him back, so.
Yeah.
Or maybe he didn't want to come back.
Yeah. So who knows?
Wanted to talk about Zendaya is on the press tour along with everybody else from Spider-Man.
Right.
And I've seen some really cute videos of interactions. A particularly cute one was when kids were interviewing the three of them, Ned and Mary J or MJ and Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Very cute. Perfect. At any rate, so Zendaya needed clothing to do all of these press tours and openings and things like that. And she got a really cool vintage spiderweb dress that was remade to work with her. Okay. So it's really great. Would you be able to put the video of that up, Sean?
Yeah, let me find the link here. Can you highlight it in the document? I'm trying to find it.
Yes, it is under clothing and costumes. It's the only thing.
Oh, I see. Okay, got it. Yeah, let me go see if I can go play that.
And unfortunately, I thought this video, maybe I had seen a different video because I thought it showed the full length of the dress. And she's just sitting down and you can't see it. But this is a vintage, I think 1930s dress that has a beautiful spiderweb on it. It was a full length gown and they modified it to be just below the knee, I believe, if I recall correctly. And it looks really super cute on her, and what a great way to remake something vintage, which is incredibly historically accurate to remake something vintage.
Here, I've got a different video for you.
Okay, great.
I will take a look there.
There we go, that one right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the thing. So they dropped it to just below the knee.
There we go. Yeah, they dropped it to just below the knee, and it's got a little peplum there, and just the spider web is just so perfectly on point for her character.
That's great. Yeah, it's gee, you'd think she was a model or something. What the hell?
Right. And I mean, when does Zendaya ever wear anything that is not absolutely perfect? Even if she's wearing, like, you know, sweats or something, she looks perfect.
But she's also one of the people who can wear the most outrageous, outlandish things and pull it off.
And she has, she knows how to wear the clothes.
Right.
And they don't wear her. Stand. Yeah, she's so talented, and that's just another highlight of her talent.
I don't care about, like, celebrity relationships at all, but I want these guys to make it.
100%. I want to see them, you know, 50-year anniversary. Well, I won't see them because I'll be gone.
We're not going to make that.
In the world, I want them to have, you know, 50 years together. And they're adorable.
They need to be one of those, like, epic love stories from Hollywood of a couple that survives.
Right. And, you know, we don't really hear much about those anymore.
No.
We did in the old days when the movie studios were pushing those things. But, I mean, if you were going to push a couple that is really surviving and doing well, it would be Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson right now.
There's
longevity.
There's a couple. Mandy Patinkin, his wife.
Right.
I think have been together for a really long time.
Kevin Bacon and his wife.
Kira Sedgwick.
Kira Sedgwick,
Jeff Goldblum, apparently, has been in a pretty solid relationship for a while. So.
At any rate, if I had that dress, I would wear the heck out of it. And she looks a billion times better in it, but it's just such a great dress.
She also has like 0% body fat. And
right.
although, to be fair, not a lot of curves. So I like your curves. I'm just going to say that.
Okay. Go for it, Sean.
All right. So Disney apparently made 9 big announcements about a variety of things concerning theme parks, largely. And they're trying to expand a lot of stuff here in Anaheim. I was talking to a cast mm-hmm. member earlier in the week who is looking forward to it. He works at the web store. He works at the Avengers Archive store there and underneath the Quinjet. And he's like, I can't wait for Avatar because I want to change the scenery. He wants to he wants to keep it all sci-fi. So, but anyway, it's Josh D'Amaro made his three priorities for the Disney company, which are investing in IP, and he says creativity that breaks through, builds connections, and endures. You know, kind of corporate babble, but you know,
yeah.
Using advanced technologies to power our storytelling and increase monetization and returns. That's definitely corporate. Reaching more consumers in more seamless, engaging ways around the world through a more connected Disney experience. And so he's got this idea of the One Disney, where like all of the different subdivisions of Disney sort of mesh together in a sort of unified experience. He says, we're seeing this quarter proof that coordinating our franchises, sharing data and technology, and building seamless fan experiences works. Toy Story 5, of course, did very well, and he's looking at that as an example. Because it not only is it, you know, a movie, but there's so much swag from it, so many toys, so many, it's like in every store, it's a thing you can't escape. Same with The Mandalorian and Grogu. And he's seeing that as a really good example of what the company just wants to be going forward. And there's a Walt Disney era chart that was called the flywheel idea, which is like there's the movie studio and the creative talent there, and then all of the other stuff surrounding it, publications, Disneyland, comic strips, merchandising, TV commercials, business films, music, all of the things that feed into that and feed it back, like back in Walt Disney's day. So what Josh D'Amaro is saying isn't exactly new, but it is kind of like a throwback to Walt, which most people who are Disney fans appreciate.
Yeah.
They had their quarterly earnings call, and the theme parks are doing really well. And it's funny, Disney's had a switch where they've gone from being a movie company with a theme park to being a theme park company that also makes movies. Because it's all about the theme parks all the time. But the problem is everything's so expensive. Which is nuts. And of course they have Disney cruises, the Disney vacation stuff, Disney adventures, all of these different things that, like, you know, they really don't want you to leave the Disney fold. Like, if you're a super hardcore Disney fan, you can live the rest of your recreational life just doing Disney stuff. It's a little too much for me. I like it to be like a highlight of a trip and not the entire trip. But
that was the process for why they did create a Disney California Adventure,
right?
Because they wanted people to stay there instead of going to other places. In
why
California.
Go to Yosemite when you could just stay here?
They
had the California resident ticket offer and $50 per day tickets for the evening stuff. We have been seeing, and you especially, Jeff, I'm sure, are seeing the surges that are happening in the evening now. I noticed it my trip earlier this week, which I guess was yesterday, where basically it was really calm and easy to get around the park during the day. And then like after about like 7 o'clock, it really picked up. It got very crowded. So that's working for them. Disney World's got an after 2 p.m. ticket that they're doing. There's a resident offer local residents for Disneyland. So they're trying to get people back in there, and they're trying to get guest spending up. And somebody asked about the war in the Middle East and how that is impacting Disney with all the fuel costs and things like that. And the CFO said that it's really hurting their Asia parks, Shanghai, Hong Kong, where Colleen and I were at the beginning of the year. And it those were not like crowded per se.
Yeah.
It was like not a big deal. And of course it's affecting their cruise ships, which need fuel. And they're building a new theme park in Abu Dhabi. That's delicate going and things like that. But
they are still going with it.
They are. They are still proceeding ahead, but delicately, because, you know, things are crazy in that part of the world. And then Disney Plus is taking a position as the gateway to the rest of the company. People getting in through there. So
yeah.
Anyway, there's all sorts of stuff. Their consumer products are moving from theme parks to studio stuff, so that the group is actually like moving over to the studio property to do their thing. And then, of course, there's all this theme park development that's coming up around Anaheim and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's there's so much stuff going on with these guys. I could probably do like a full half hour on them, but just suffice it to say that Disney's position as a juggernaut is like not changing anytime soon.
Nope. Not at all.
D23 is coming up. They got all sorts of things happening. And, you know, if they had their way, you would not deviate from the Disney-branded entertainment at all. You would just, you know, feed into them forever.
Yeah, pretty much.
And we're out of time.
All right.
Yeah, you got like 40 minutes.
Anybody got any wrap-up they want
to
do?
I mean, I did have one thing I wanted to touch on.
Sure, go for it.
And that's that Peacock has cast Jeff Hayes, who is the voice person in the books, as Princess Donut in the Dungeon Crawler Carl live-action TV series that's coming up.
Right. He reads the audio books, and he does the different character voices as they do that. The books have like 150 million hours listened or something like that. It's like really crazy. And they have been pushing him pretty hard. Basically, they've had the author of the book and they've had him as the audiobook narrator. And they've been doing all sorts of videos and things online and whatnot. They almost never identify the reader in that way unless they're somebody famous or they get kind of a cult following, which these books certainly have. So it's interesting that they want to keep that consistent from the book to the television show.
Yeah.
Because, you know, talking cat.
pretty much, yeah.
Alrighty. I guess that is about it for me. Apologies to all y'all if you tried to tune into the video and we got a late start. I had a video driver issue, but we got it all figured out. Who's still with us? Foxtrot Joe is hanging out. Eric.
Eric and Liz and Don. Yep.
Talon Thorn. And, so to yeah, all
Foxtrot, you. Foxtrot was Rose.
Oh, okay. Right on. I can never tell from people's handle what the heck they are. And Rose, especially, changes her handle all the time.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so if you've been watching us on Facebook or Twitch or YouTube, thank you so much. If there's a way to like or subscribe to that, let us know you were there. Please do it. If you've been listening over on sci-fi.radio, go check out the news stories up there. We get a lot of trailers for you and things for projects that are coming up. And also, it's listener-supported radio, so if you're feeling generous and you want to keep that radio station going on because you're a listener over there, we broadcast stuff 24/7. And so you can always go there for a little entertainment and see what's going on. And, of course, I have my morning show from 9 to 11 Pacific time, which starts at 12 noon Eastern time. And I always appreciate when you guys come hang out with me and we get to play that kind of stuff in the morning.
Yeah.
Fridays are always funky. I just kind of fly by the seat of my pants and we do whatever we're going to do. So Big thanks to Kit for all the work that she does on the show. We're always grateful for that. And we hope to see her next week because she was working tonight.
Yeah. I'm calling Kayla Crosby.
This is Jeff Soledad-Ho.
I am Sean Obi-Sean Crosby. As always,
may the force be with you.
Let's see. We've got little credits over here for the video guys. I'll leave that up so you can actually read the really terrible cartoon that's there. And we'll see you guys next week. And to all y'all over on the radio side of things, thanks for listening to the show without pictures. That's, you know, a sign of dedication. I'll see all you guys tomorrow on Good Morning Tatooine. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Good night, all.